Welcome to the Grace to You audio blog. After you hear what John MacArthur says, stick around and find out how to get in on the conversation.
The only source of knowledge we have about God is the Bible and the external evidence of God in creation. We can know about God by creation. We cannot know God except through Scripture. We can know that He created as we look at the creation around us. It's reasonable to assume there was a creator, but we cannot know how He created unless He reveals it to us. So with that in mind, go back to Genesis chapter 1. When God began the Bible as His self-revelation, He began with an account of origins. He began by telling how He created the universe. Verse 1 of Genesis 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And then He goes on into chapter 2 and verse 4 with a description of precisely and exactly how He created the universe. Now, this is where Genesis begins. But it doesn't end there. Genesis is a book of origins. To show you how important Genesis is, let me tell you the range of origins that are found in the revelation of this one book. Now, the word Genesis, by the way, means origins, beginnings. And in the book of Genesis, you find many beginnings, many origins. First of all, and we just noted that, you find the origin of the universe. Genesis 1:1 is unique in all literature, all science, and all philosophy. Every other system of cosmogony explaining the universe, whether in ancient religious myths or modern scientific models, starts with eternal matter or eternal energy in some form. Only the book of Genesis starts with eternal God. Genesis is then the book of the origin of the universe. Secondly, in Genesis, we find the origin of order and complexity. Man's universal observation of his world is that it is an orderly world. It functions on fixed rules, and it is profoundly complex. Order and complexity never arise spontaneously. They are always generated by a prior cause programmed to produce order and complexity simultaneously. And in the book of Genesis, we meet God who programmed order and complexity into His universe. We also find in Genesis the origin of the solar system. In the midst of this vast, limitless universe, God created a solar system. The earth, as well as the sun and moon, the planets, all the stars of heaven were brought into existence by the Creator, and we're told that He created them all. Fourthly, the book of Genesis tells us about the origin of the atmosphere and the hydrosphere. The earth is uniquely equipped with a great body of liquid water and an extensive blanket of oxygen-nitrogen gaseous mixture, both of which are necessary for life and are accounted for only by special creation by God to provide an environment for human life. We also find in Genesis the origin of life, the marvels of the reproductive process, the almost infinite complexity programmed into the genetic system of plants and animals are inexplicable apart from special creation by a great supernatural powerful intelligence. Sixthly, and certainly centrally, Genesis tells us about the origin of man. Man is the most highly organized and complex entity in the universe. Man is the supreme illustration of order and complexity. He possesses not only innumerable intricate physical chemical structures and the marvelous capacities of life and reproduction, but beyond that sort of physical part of man, there is a nature which can contemplate abstract entities of beauty and love and worship, and which is capable of understanding and thinking about its own meaning. It is self-awareness that singularly identifies and separates man from the rest of the created order. In Genesis, you also find the origin of marriage. The remarkable, universal, and stable institution of marriage and the home, a monogamous, patriarchal, social culture, is defined and described in Genesis as having been ordained by the Creator. And polygamy and infanticide and matriarchy and promiscuity and divorce and abortion and homosexuality and all other corruptions developed later after the fall, corrupting God's initial order. You also find in the book of Genesis the origin of evil. The origin of physical and moral evil in the universe is explained in Genesis as a kind of temporary intrusion into God's perfect world, allowed by God as a concession to the principle of human freedom and responsibility, and also to manifest Himself as Redeemer of sinners as well as Creator. You find, number 9, in the book of Genesis, the origin of judgment on evil. All the forms of God's wrath are set in motion and illustrated in Genesis. Also, number 10, in the book of Genesis, you find the origin of salvation by grace through God's mercy and a substitute. That's all in Genesis. And it starts to show as God is merciful to Adam and Eve and doesn't kill them, even though they deserve to die for their sin. And then God develops a system of animal sacrifice, which pictures a substitute who will take the place of sinners, which is an act of mercy and grace on God's part. The plan of redemption leading to Christ is even referred to when the book of Genesis talks about the seed of the woman, that being the seed planted by God in Mary, the Messiah, the Savior. It is in the book of Genesis that we find the origin of language. You know, one of the things that evolutionists gag on all the time is how you go from apes to man, not just making some physical transition, but developing language. The gulf between the mindless, instinctive chattering of animals and the intelligent, abstract, symbolic communication of man is absolutely and completely unbridgeable by any evolutionary process. The book of Genesis not only accounts for the origin of language in general, that is, God is a communicating God and He created someone in His own image who thereby could communicate, but how so many languages occurred from the judgment of God at the Tower of Babel, that's in Genesis 2. You find in Genesis number 12 the origin of government, the development of organized systems of human government for the maintenance of orderly social structures through systems of law and punishment. You find in Genesis the origin of culture. You find here such things as urbanization, the development of metallurgy, music, agriculture, animal husbandry, writing, education, navigation, textiles, and ceramics. All of that starts in the book of Genesis. You find in Genesis the origin of nations, and that is related, of course, again to the Tower of Babel, as God takes one race and scatters them all over the world. That is the only source you'll ever find of how we have so many different people scattered all over the earth with different languages and cultures. You find in the book of Genesis the origin of religion. Both the true religion and false religions appear, first of all, in the book of Genesis. Organized systems of worship and conduct. The origin of man's unique characteristic of consciousness and his ability to comprehend God and to structure a system of response to the God he believes exists. That all appears in Genesis. You find also, significantly, number 16 in my list, the origin of the chosen people, Israel, who were the conduit for God's revelation to all of the world. It was Israel that was God's people through whom He gave His revelation and through whom His saving covenant came in Genesis 12 to Abraham. Now, when you talk about origins, you're going to have to go back to Genesis. This is a book of origins. Either you believe what Genesis says about all of those origins, or you don't. And that would include either you believe the creation account in Genesis 1 and 2 or you don't. And if you don't believe the Genesis account, then I have to tell you, you have no hope of coming to the truth. You're not going to discover it. Unconverted scientists aren't going to discover it. You either believe Genesis or you don't. And what is really intolerable is to say you believe the Bible, but just not the Genesis creation account. You believe Genesis. You believe about the origin of sin. You believe chapter 3 on, maybe. Or maybe you're not sure about that because you don't really believe there was an actual Adam. But just in case you don't believe in a real Adam, maybe you don't sign on until chapter 6. Maybe you just believe the flood. Well, maybe you don't believe that. Maybe you believe when the Tower of Babel is described later on in chapter 11. Or maybe you don't believe that. And maybe you don't check in until Abraham shows up in chapter 12. Pretty ridiculous, isn't it? Who are you to be sitting in judgment on Scripture? All you can know about how God created is what He said. It's all you can know. And if you don't believe what He said about creation, what kind of precedent have you established for the rest of the Bible? You see, the implications of rejecting the account of Genesis are profound.
Thanks for listening. Now go to gty.org/audioblog and get involved in the conversation. That's gty.org/audioblog.